Today's episode of the Texas Toast Podcast, we're visiting with Ben Katalichek, who went from Dripping Springs to being an Aggieland artist, and now he's in Nashville. He talks about some of his past success and the future success coming up for him with the release of his new EP, Heartbreak Sessions. So you don't want to miss it. Listen to what Ben has to say about what's up.
Let's go.
Welcoming today to the podcast. I'm so excited. We've talked about your music and we finally get to talk to you, Ben Katalichek. Welcome to Texas Toast Podcast. Cheers. So you've got quite a story. You've been busy. And let's just talk about your background. You grew up in Dripping Springs.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful there.
So it was a, call it a once upon a time small town. It's really kind of West Austin now, just far West Austin. Yes. It's growing. You know, when I was there, my mom and dad moved there in the 80s. My mom was a school teacher for a long time. And when they started there, my mom was in one school building. It was K-12 in one building. And there was one flashing stoplight. And now there's like a hotel and, you know, a Whataburger. I think they're about to build a second high school and the HEBs there. It's just a huge, huge town now.
But. Well, I get to hear a lot about that because I live on the coast. I'm in Matagorda, and where I live, we have a wonderful couple that comes that owns a condo here, and they live in Dripping Springs, and they told a story about how they used to see nothing on their big back porch, and now they're seeing everything.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. You know, and I moved. So I grew up there. I moved away to go to Texas A&M, and I stayed in College Station for about 7 years. Graduated in four, but stayed there for about another 3 years, right until COVID happened, and spent the first COVID year there, and then moved back in with my parents, and they moved to Lakeway, which is like the next little town over. But just the growth and just that, you know, few short years that I was gone to school was insane. Mm-hmm.
I know. It is insane. It's happening in so many places. Let's talk about your time in Aggieland, and you were an Aggieland artist, Love Corliss and Maverick. Yeah. So I guess is that kind of where you started developing your musical skills and getting in front of a crowd, doing open mics and shows there?
More so, yeah. So I started playing piano when I was a little kid with piano lessons, started when I was about six. And it was always just kind of something I did for fun or as a release of stress or, you know, not really thinking that I could do anything with music. I didn't really know that was even an option that I had. There was an amphitheater called Nutty Brown Amphitheater, which is where an AGB sits now in Dripping Springs. But they used to have artists come on Wednesday nights for free shows. That was like the first place I saw Cody Johnson, saw Kevin Fowler, Aaron Watson. And then Whiskey Myers came through 1 week, and I was like, that is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Those guys were rock stars in cowboy boots. Like, how do I make this happen? So when I moved to College Station, really started kind of writing music. It was terrible songs at first, but I was convinced to get in front of a microphone for an open mic night by one of my roommates in college, and just caught the bug and kind of started going from there. And I literally went around to just the naivety of everything. Went around to all these places saying, how do I play here? And a lot of them were like, who are you? Like, you don't like go write songs, go practice and come back and see us. And I think I just bugged people at the tap for so long that they're finally were like, okay, we'll let you have a shot. And I got a bunch of my buddies to come out and, you know, made it worth their while. So they had us back, and it just kind of started going from there. Got hooked up with Corliss and Maverick and did some of their shows on the patio, and we were supposed to actually be on Chili Fest the COVID year that got canceled, which I was real sad about. That was going to be an awesome lineup, but still, that's kind of, yeah, I really kind of developed my first talent, I guess, or, you know, got the bug for touring and writing and networking and everything was in College Station. And then once I graduated, I moved into a house with my band, and, you know, we were able to practice whenever we wanted, and we toured out of there for quite a few years.
Then you went in the studio in 2018 and recorded your first EP, Brazos County Bound, and that's a great single. All of us have done the 105 thing from Conroe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you had a really special song on there that did something special for you, and it's called Amen.
Yes. So that was, I was in a songwriting competition. The Texas Music Pickers did a a songwriting competition at the Tap every year. And I lost 2 years in a row to guys named Lucas. The second year was a guy named Lucas Jagno, who I love very dearly.
Yes.
A friend of mine. But that was the year I made it to the finals. I was like, I don't have any more songs. I'm out of songs. What do I do? So I went home. That was a Friday night. And I was supposed to be back on Saturday. And I sat down at my piano and just started playing this little melody. And within about 10 minutes, Amen came out. And it was just, to me, it's a very kind of religious song, but it was a godsend to me that those lyrics kind of just popped out of thin air. Fast forward a couple of years, we put it out. It didn't really do a whole lot for us, but Jacob Bryant was a guy that I had been following for a long time. And I saw that he was coming to Texas, which he did very rarely at that point in time. Georgia guy, recording in Nashville, did a lot of stuff out here. And on the East Coast, some more, kind of Georgia, Florida stuff, but he was in Texarkana. So I bugged his manager for the better part of 2 months, just saying, how do I open the show? We'd really love to open the show. Please let us come open the show. And finally, he's like, okay. We get there, we sound check and play that song in sound check. He came up to me afterwards. We were all eating dinner before the show. And he said, did you write that? And I said, yeah, man, that's a song I wrote. And he goes, I'd love to record it. I was like, man, you're lying. You're full crap. And he goes, no, I'm serious. So we exchanged numbers. We did the show. It went great. I'm not really thinking anything of it. About 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in College Station. I get a phone call from him. He goes, hey, can you be in Nashville by 5 o'clock? I was like, yeah, I guess so. So back together, drove 2 hours back down to Austin. Met my dad in the parking lot at the airport, switched keys. I hopped on a plane and flew to Nashville, and he came and picked me up on his tour bus from the airport. And it was just a super cool experience. We went to a hotel room. He's like, man, we got to go see a buddy real quick before we do anything. So we get to this hotel and it's Jake Worthington sitting there playing guitar. And
awesome.
So I'm just kind of fly on the wall, taking it all in. We go the next day, he's recording in Brantley Gilbert's studio, and just to be able to watch a true Nashville recording session. Cause when I did that EP, it was me and my producer, James Klopel, who played guitar for a whole bunch of famous rock bands too. He was in Hollywood Undead. He played for Deuce. He's actually guitar teching for Warrant, like the She's My Cherry Pie Warrant right now. So he's a super rock guy. We just did the entire thing in his apartment, and it was me and him. So to see the Nashville session and how these guys are just so quick at their numbers, it was like a different language to me. They charted out my song, which was cool, and hearing them talk, going, hey, we're gonna go to the 1/4, push 3, go to the 5, back to the 2. And I'm sitting there going, okay, what are they talking about? Okay, yeah, now I got it. So that was super neat. He put it out, a couple of weeks later, he said, man, this is making the record for sure. Then calls me again. He goes, this is a single. And he goes, we're pushing it to radio. And so just watching the process of this song kind of evolve was super neat. And can't say a whole lot right now, but I will say that the story of that song may not quite be over yet either. So
Wow.
We get confirmation here in the next couple of weeks of something I think might happen. I'll let you guys know, but the song is continuing to open doors for me. And it's crazy what the power of one song can do to change your life.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on that. And the continued congratulations on all your stuff. Of course, we talk about your music anytime something comes out. Kyle's usually right on top of it. But let's talk about, you're spending time in Nashville now, a lot of time in Nashville, correct?
Yes. Well, I moved here full time about 6-7 months ago. I'm trying to think of what today is. Yeah, about 6.5 months ago, I moved up here full time. And it's just been a nonstop kind of whirlwind since I got up here. Since that happened with Jacob, I started coming back and forth from Austin and Nashville, trying to get up here about once a month, twice a month. And it just got to the point where I make the joke of I knew the Southwest flight attendants on a first name basis. So I was like, man, I'm spending way too much money on plane tickets. We might as well just look about, moving up here. And mm-hmm. It kind of happened on a whim where, we'd gone on family vacation to Florida, and my sister was like, you have to do this. Like, you just need to go. And I was like, okay. Like, if we keep talking about where I want to go, we'll do it eventually. I got to save some more money. You're always just going to come up with excuses of, why you can't go. What's not the right time. It's never going to be the perfect time. So we got back on a Sunday and I was like, I think I'm going to go on Tuesday. And then Monday rolled around and I was like, we're going today. So I had no job, no place to live, and I just started driving and called a buddy that I'd played a songwriter round up here with, and he'd been letting me stay in his guest room when I was coming up to visit. I said, "Do you still have that room available? I'll pay you some money for rent." And he goes, "Come on." And stayed there for about 5 months and couch surfed with some other buddies. And then I'm finally in my own house now here in Nashville. So I'm very happy about that.
That's terrific. Have you ever wondered how artists like Treaty Oak Revival, Red Clay Strays, and Aaron Watson maintain the high quality and high demand for their merchandise? CH Lone Star Promo is the answer. Created in Texas to serve Texas artists, and they're currently offering 15% off on all merch orders from musicians. Visit chlonestarpromo.com to get started and tell them Texas Toast sent you.
I was reading the other day that it takes at least $1 million to break an artist. That's a ton of change, and it can feel overwhelming. But with social media leveling the playing field, you just need an effective strategy to release your music. Check out Release Rocket to ensure your single does not die after release day. You've already put time, effort, and tons of money into writing and recording your album. Let the guys at Release Rocket keep your new release alive.
So you're playing shows. Are you playing a lot of shows at the different places there in Nashville?
I was doing a lot of writer's rounds. When I first started up here and just playing anywhere and everywhere I could. And I just got a residency at Eric Church's new bar on Broadway called Chiefs. That started 2 weeks ago. So I'm playing there 4 times a week. And that has been super, super fun.
Wonderful. That's great.
Last Wednesday, you know, so Eric Church is doing 19 shows himself at the bar. So it's a 6-story bar, which is crazy. The first floor is a typical Broadway kind of honky tonk, full band stage. Second floor is really more of a piano bar. They've been doing pianos up there, and which is great for me being predominantly piano. It's got a really cool kind of little 360 stage, but more intimate kind of dive bar setting. And then the third floor is, it looks like a mini Ryman. They call it the neon steeple. But they've got the stained glass windows and the church pews and the chairs, and that's where he's performing. And they're bringing a lot of cool acts over there too. Like Ray Raleigh Hubbard was just there. Bob Seger's coming in May. Nice. And then he's doing, Eric Church is doing his 19 shows. But last Wednesday he had finished his show and came down and kind of popped in to my set. And then I just happened to be singing an Eric Church song when he walked in, and he sang
that.
Yeah, he sang the last verse with me, and that has kind of gotten a little bit viral on TikTok. So it's been a fun experience these last couple of days too, watching my social media numbers go up a little bit as well.
Yes, yes. Well, let's talk about your current music, Heartbreak Sessions EP. When is do you have a date for that to be released?
We just got the artwork back yesterday, and the masters for the remaining 3 songs this morning. So probably okay. Look. In May, I need to sit down actually probably when we get off and figure out. Okay. The next single is due out May 10th. So that will be a song called Moving Forward, Moving On, which follows the first single that we put out, Heartbreak on Fire. And then we've got 3 more that will be included on that EP. So
nice. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't really set out to write a concept EP when I started this, but my first 2 months living here, I found a girlfriend and lost a girlfriend. And I was like, man, I'm just writing a whole lot of heartbreak songs right now. my mentor up here, his name's Brad Clark. He was working with Universal Music Group and has now moved over to Concord, but been super, super helpful to me. And we just sat down, having lunch once every couple of weeks, and was sending him everything that I was writing. And he's like, man, these songs all kind of go together. Like, you should look at maybe kind of putting this into a project. And what happened, it turned out, is, you know, it's really kind of tells a story of a breakup, at least, or at least from my perspective. It's, you know, the first song is, you know, you wake up, she's gone. It's the realization is setting in. And then, you know, the next song is like when you're really sad. And then the song after that is the first time maybe you see her out in public. It's like, man, this is, you know, it's feeling like I just saw a stranger. I don't know how to deal with that. And then, you know, it talks about, you know, and do you even think about me anymore? I'm thinking about you so much. The next song is like, do you even think about me? And then the last one, which is going to be the next single, is, you know, at some point you got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get back out there and move on a little bit. So it's,
yeah.
Well,
Yeah. Well, you sent over a few of the tracks, and Moving Forward, Moving On was one of the ones that I put an asterisk by. So I'm excited that that's going to be coming out and we're able to talk about it now. But I do want to also compliment you on Stranger, that track that I listened to. It just really, your voice is just amazing on that one. That's just like all you.
I appreciate it. Yes. That's my little Gavin DeGraw-ish kind of song, real kind of heavy. But then that's the one I'm talking about. You know, it feels like you saw a stranger, you know, when you mm-hmm. see it in public. And Nashville is such a small town. It's they call it the biggest small town in the South, which I was like, man, it's not true, but it really is. You start running into the same people all the time. And, you know, I had met this girl at one of my favorite bars here. So I was like, I'm sure she's going to be back out at this bar too. And you see her and you're like, man, it just, you know, it's weird that we spent so much time together. And then it's like, okay, it's like, I don't know you anymore. But I'm sure that's a feeling that a lot of other people have had in some capacity or another. So
certainly, certainly
kind of respond to that as well.
And also the way it's composed, the composition on the tracks that I listen to is just beautiful.
Thank you. I kind of went back to my roots, that first, you know, how I did the Brazos County Bound EP with just me and one other guy. So my producer's name is Colton Parker. He's played bass for Hunter Hayes and Lauren Elena. And he's got a home studio in his basement, and it was just the two of us. So I played keys and organ and synth, and he played everything else. So we were able to, you know, versus when you go into a big studio and those session players are fantastic. They are the best in the world at what they do. But a lot of times it's three passes, you know, to listen once and kind of get the idea of the song, play through it again, then maybe a third time to kind of fix anything that they missed, and then you're done. Versus what we were able to do is we spent 5.5 hours one day on a 30-second snippet of a song going, okay, we can do this better. We can do this better. No, go back. I can hit this note better. We're a little flat. Mm-hmm. You know, we changed this for a whole day. We spent, you know, on 30 seconds to a minute of one song. And it's taken a lot longer. You know, we started this project almost 5 months ago. But I'm really happy with the way it turned out, and the fact that, you know, it is exactly how I had envisioned it in my head. And, you know, sometimes you come out of these studio sessions going, man, I had a different idea in my head, and these guys took it a different place, and it sounds great because they are so good at what they do. It was like, you know, I wish I could have heard what I was hearing when I wrote the song. And I was able to really kind of capture that in this EP.
That's great. Well, we're looking forward to the EP. From what I heard and from what you sent over, it's amazing. So everyone should be looking forward to that. And we'll keep everyone informed as to the exact date when it's going to be coming. It seems like to me that you're just fitting in perfect. Your transition from, you know, going from home to Aggieland to Nashville, it's just like you're just digging in and you're doing so much. How is it? I guess, are you able to really develop a fan base during all this?
I think so. You know, it's definitely now since I moved here, I feel like it's the right place, right time. You know, for so long, I felt like I was behind the eight ball or just kind of spinning my wheels or fighting something in the universe. And it may have just been not the right time. And since coming here, everything's kind of just fallen into place. And it's funny to me when I look back or I talk with my parents about it, you know, it's a culmination of the years of work that I put in Austin and College Station. You know, it's not like you just showed up to Nashville with a guitar and never having written a song. And, you know, now things start happening. Like, no, I've worked for this, and I've, you know, played the crappy shows for nobody, you know, where we're fitting five guys in my truck and we're driving 8 hours or sometimes 12 hours to Florida to play at a hotel for nobody and then drive back immediately. You know, I've done the road dog thing, and seems like I'm fitting in a lot more. As far as like a true fan base, you know, I'm hoping that with the Eric Church thing playing at his bar and getting a lot of his fans there, you know, the Eric Church fans remind me a lot of Texas country fans. They're so loyal. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've already had comments on Instagram and Facebook posts saying, you know, that's one of my favorite things about him is he introduces us to new artists. And, you know, we're going to listen to wherever we go back to, North Carolina or, you know, Chicago or wherever, and starting to see the Spotify numbers slowly start trickling up again. And I hope with the new music Because this is just the first of a lot that we're going to be putting out this year. I'm hoping to hit 15 songs out this year. Cool. And kind of copy the Muscadine Bloodline way of doing things and just hammer people with music until eventually one of them is going to break the floodgates open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of one of my questions, because as I was listening to your music progress and following you for a few years, it's like, do you feel like 2024 is going to be your breakout year?
I hope so. At the very least, I feel like it's going to set us up really, really well for next year. If it happens this year, awesome. If not, I think we're going to be in a fantastic position at the beginning of 2025 to really kind of explode onto this.
Yes, it's definitely going to be coming. It's something I meant to bring up when we were talking about your songs. Is you and I adored. I got Trent's Shrimp Cowie shirt on when y'all did that fun song last summer, wasn't it? Yep. Have ourselves a day. Oh man, I love that.
That is the one that gets talked about all the time. And I didn't really play it a whole lot when I was still in Texas, and sending these band guys that I'm playing with now all of my songs. Are like, we're going to kind of craft a set list to be playing. And they're like, this song is so fun. Like, this has to make it. And sorry, Trent, I'm singing your verse, because you can't come to Nashville and then sing with me every night. But it is a fun song. That's, you know, the guy that I was living with for so long, he was like, man, this is a song when I'm having a crappy day at work, or it's 6 a.m. and it's cold and I got to go. He was a home inspector. And he's like, I got to go crawl under people's houses with snakes and rats. He's like, this is the one that I put on to kind of get me in a better mood. And I'm so glad that he agreed to hop on it with me. I'd written the entire thing. And I was like, man, it's missing something. And I was like, I just happened to be talking to Trent. I was like, man, listen to this. See if you can write a verse to this. He's like, I got you. And he came in, and it happened real, real quick and real organic. And I love that guy so much.
I do too. He's something special. He's got a lot of stuff coming up too. It's like, you just say Trent Cowie's name and you just get a big smile. So looking forward to the EP coming out. And let's talk about how people can find you on your different socials, because I know your website is like Ben Cad Music. So let's let everybody know where to find
across the board. You know, I know Cadillac's not the easiest thing to spell or say. I joke that if people can figure out how to say Co Wetzel, eventually they'll figure out how to say Ben Cadillac. But I made it easy, as easy as I can. Ben Cad Music across the board, Twitter or X, whatever it is now. I haven't updated my phone, so it still shows Twitter. But Facebook, Instagram, it's all Ben Cad Music. And then if you go on Apple Music or Spotify or Amazon, if you just type in BNKAD, I should pop up.
Yeah. Well, I like the whole Cattle of Check, because I'm an L chick.
Yeah.
Came from a community with those names. I grew up in Sealy. We all had those names.
Unfortunately, I've not been able to find any good kolaches up here yet. But
oh, no.
The two things I miss are good kolaches and HEB. You know, I've unfortunately go to Kroger and Trader Joe's and Costco, which are great, but they're definitely not an HEB.
Right, right. Well, it's been a joy visiting with you. We love your music. I love what I heard, what you sent over, and we're going to be following along. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.